Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you tonight. Lord, we're asking, Lord, for you to come now and to guide us through your word, Lord, and this little teaching, Lord, as we approach this point of the service, God. And we ask, God, that you would just speak to each and every heart, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you will take us down every avenue, Lord, to reach each individual. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We're just going to go through the scripture little by little here tonight from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And that's why I had you just be seated, because I'm not just going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to go through it little by little. And with 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" In Hebrews, it also says that the reason you can't eat strong meat, a person would need milk, is because they're babes. And, you know, if you give a Brother Branham said, if you give a baby meat, why, it'll kill it. Because its digestive system's not developed enough to handle it. I remember one time we had a little kitten that was born, and it was it didn't seem to be developing quite like the other kittens, and the other ones were growing off and leaving it, and it was staying real little, you know. It was growing in its mind. It was able to act like it was getting older, but it stayed real little. And I used to carry it around in my pocket. And it could come to its name, and, you know, it was learning things like that, but all it did was drink milk. And I'd feed it out of a little bottle. And we thought, well, why ain't this thing getting any bigger? And so one day we decided to give it a little bit of meat. It died. The digestive system of that thing never did develop where it could do anything but drink milk. And because of that, it wasn't never going to mature. And that's the same thing with Christians. If Christians don't allow their gastronomical spiritual digestive systems to mature to where they can handle meat, then you're never going to mature and get ready to leave out of here. We've got to get ready to leave out of here. But when we are still playing around with little baby things, you know, and still little petty things that we're playing around with, why, you know, them, it takes time to go over those things and to be constantly scolding over those things and constantly trying to get us aired out over that and get us in line over little things that we ought to know. Brother Branham said, as long as Christ has been with us and blessing us and doing things he has and see his great works, and we're still babies, he said, when we see what God does in his mighty works, his word vindicated, we ought to be big and burly. He said, but you know why we're not? We don't eat enough. If all we're doing is just eating when we get, well, I'll just hear when I get to church. And you don't never read your Bible. You don't never pray. You don't never listen to any of the messages and so on. Why, friends, you get here and then you're lost, because there's things that's going to be said and that you're not going to be up with because you're not eating along. You're not growing. You're not maturing. You know, you can't, a baby's got to eat continuously. But then as it gets gets older, why it doesn't have to eat just every hour on the hour, or every couple hours or whatever, but you still got to eat every day. You know, and you go to skipping a few meals and it starts, you know, there's a lot of people that they think, well, I'll go on a diet, I'll start skipping meals. You know, that's unhealthy. That's unhealthy for your body. You're better off to just eat moderately and don't skip any meals and that. But it's the same thing spiritually. People think, you know, people say, well, I can't wait to go to some big meeting and eat real big. And then, you know, the thing about it is, then they don't do nothing else the rest of the time. You've got to continuously eat. And the thing is, you've got to allow yourself to mature. Now, how do you allow yourself to mature? Is by taking in what's being preached. You know, look, I'm called to preach it. You know what you're called to do? Believe it and eat it. That's what you're called to do. And, you know, what I'm preaching, it's not my opinion. So your opinion don't mean nothing either. And a lot of the problems is people hang on to their own opinions about things and that and dismiss what's being preached as being, well, that's just that man's thoughts. Well, friends, if we were coming here to hear Jerry Browning's thoughts, then the thing is, it's hopeless. We're lost. We ain't going to make the rapture if we're coming here to hear Jerry Browning's thoughts, because I'm just a man. I don't come here to preach my thoughts. Friends, look, I depend on God to come and give me what to say to feed the people. And, you know, but then, you know, as a pastor, you know, it's as a shepherd is with the sheep. Then Brother Ram says he's with the sheep so much that he gets to smelling like them. In other words, what it is, the pastor's around you so much that after years, the pastor really gets to knowing you. He gets to knowing how you're going to react and what you're doing and what's going on with you. And he can tell by the way he's preaching whether you're getting it or not, or whether you're receiving it or not, whether you're bulking at it or taking it in and really eating it. And, you know, if God's got to continuously lead the pastor to keep preaching on the same things, the same little petty things to get us in line, how are we ever going to preach about the rapture? How are we ever going to preach about getting out of here when all we got to do is preach about living here? We've got to get beyond that. Friends, look, we've got to grow up. We've got to grow up. Quit playing around with all these little petty things. In other words, look, the devil, we ought to begin to learn the devil. And instead of letting him just pull every one of his tricks on us all the time, we ought to be coming to a place of maturity to where we recognize, that thought is the devil. That's the devil just trying to get me stirred up. Instead of getting caught up in the emotion of it and flying off on the handle, you know, and just tearing loose, you know, and then get all in the middle of it and feel all embarrassed because we acted that way. We ought to begin to recognize it's the devil. Now, it ought to be simple that you don't want to do what the devil wants you to do. So why do we do it so much? Because we need to grow up. We need to mature. Brother Branham said, it's time this little church could take the meat. No more milk of the word. We've been too much in milk giving the baby his bottle. But we've got to have strong meats for the day is getting close. That we know that's true. We know we're at the end time. We look at everything that's going on in the world. And friends, look, man is destroying this world. I'll say something on that a little bit more in a minute. But man's destroying this earth. Look, this earth ain't got long left. We need to start thinking about, instead of always focused on our life here, we need to start thinking about our life leaving here. We need to start thinking about getting out of here, not planning on staying around here forever. We know we're at the end time. We can see the signs of the time. We see how the world, the corruption of the world, how corrupt it's getting. It's a very bad place. And people aren't going to get any better. Let's look at verse 4. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord give to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. You know, I remember some years ago, we went somewhere, a lot of us from the church here, and we was at, a camp meeting, and somebody came up to one of the members from the church here and said, so where do you go to church? And they said, well, I go to Brother Jerry Browning's church. Well, I don't know him, but I go to Brother Donnie's. Big deal. Hey, look, I love Brother Donnie. I ain't got a thing against him. I love hearing him preach. But I'm going to tell you what, just going to his church ain't going to get him into heaven. If they're just sitting on a pew and warming a seat, not taking in the word that he's preaching, they ain't going nowhere. But the thing about it is, it don't matter what church you're in. It don't matter who the pastor is. As long as he has got his life dedicated to God and he's called of God and he's filled with the Holy Ghost and preaching the word of God, then you're going to get ready to leave out of here. And when we get to heaven, friends, there's not going to be, well, you know, we got a better place for y'all from that church over there than this little church down here. You know, y'all got to stay over yonder. Ain't no such thing as that. I don't know why people get all built up in, well, where you go to church at. I've planted, Apollos water, but God giveth the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labors. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, and ye are God's building. So, you know, every pastor, every man, they'll have to give an account for what they did with what God put in their hands. I don't have to give an account for what some other preacher done or what he does or whatever. Matter of fact, I don't even care. That's between him and God. I got to give an account for what I do. You've got to give an account for what you do. Sometimes we always get to worrying about what the other fellow's doing. Well, look at what they're doing. Worry about what you're doing. Let's worry about what we're doing or not doing. Amen. Brother Bram says it's our business to preach the gospel. God does the calling. One plants, another waters, and God takes the increase. Brother Bram said he remembered when he first started preaching about divine healing, he had a really hard way to go. He said, you know, he was had a fellowship card, and he was a minister with the Baptist church, and said Brother Davis was, you know, the overseer there, and he went to him about the angel of the Lord appearing to him and telling him he was going to pray for monarchs and kings and all this. And Brother David said, oh, come on. He said, you just had a nightmare. He said, there wasn't no angel that appeared to you. He said, you with just not even a full school education, and you're going to pray for kings and monarchs and so on. He said, well, that's what the angel told me. And he said, well, I don't think it'd be that way. Brother Branham said, well, then I might as well turn in my fellowship card now. He said, because that's what he told me, and I believe him. Amen. Amen. But, you know, Brother Branham says in the message of the resurrection, he says, I trust this little meeting will never die, that it'll live on and on and on and on. And, you know, if we start, as we start to mature in the Lord, then we don't just come in on a service and it just, I don't really like salmon. A lot of people like to eat salmon. I don't. 5 minutes later, I'm hungry. You know, and I'm not into baked fish or grilled fish. I think it's really bland, and I like the unhealthy fried stuff, you know. But if I'm going to eat something, I like something that's going to stick around on me a little bit. And when we come to church, friends, the problem is I've found a lot of times people come and they can't hang on to what they got in the service past the door. They no sooner get out the door and in the parking lot, and they done forgot what was preached. They, you know, by the time Monday comes and the devil comes and slips one up on them, they done forgot that the devil gave that God gave them something to prepare them for what the devil was going to do on Monday when he gave it to them on Sunday. And they already forgot about it. But we ought to be able to take what's preached, Lord, and let that service live on and on in our minds. Let it stay in our minds. Let it stay in our hearts. Let it stay in our memories. Because, friends, what it is, it's preparing you. It's, friends, look, put on the whole armor of God. How do we do that? It's the Word, isn't it? And so we've got to put on the armor of God in order to withstand the devil in these times. And if we can't take the service and remember from one day to the next what was, you know, the at least get the point, at least sometimes get the title. It's like a fellow was in church and he got a phone call from God and he said, what did the preacher preach on? We said, you know how our preacher is. He preaches mostly on the Bible. People go out, they don't even remember what was preached. Look, latch on to, if you can only latch on to one thing that said, latch on to it and keep it. The thing we've got to do is identify with what's being preached. In other words, realize, friends, look, I ain't preaching to Johnson City tonight. I'm preaching to Dixon. You're here in Dixon, so I'm preaching to you. I'm preaching to the body of believers that are here and listen to these services online. Why? Because you're who this is to. So identify with it, take it, and realize, say, yep, that's for me. I need to take that, let this service live on and on in my life. Why? Because there's seeds planted. And if you'll hold on to that, then God will bring the water and help it to grow. And then you'll begin to mature in the Lord. Instead of being 25 years down the road and still acting like babies. Sometimes I can't believe the things we got to preach that we preached 25 years ago and we still got to preach on them today. Lord, we should have gotten the back wave back then and moved on. Let's look at verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. And another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, for other foundation can no man lay than that has been laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work, what sort it is. And if any man's work abideth, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, look, we don't have, you know, there's not, you know, there's a lot of men that rise up and they try to get a following after themselves. And I'm not talking about out here in the church world. I'm talking about people that's professing to believe this message. And they rise up with some doctrine, some new idea to try to draw people after themselves is really what it is. Look at what God showed me. Look at what I've got. Look, the foundation's already been laid. All we're doing is building on what's already been laid. Brother Branham said the foundation was laid by the apostles. And he says, and God builds on that foundation that was laid by the apostles. God builds his church upon the doctrine of the apostles. Remember when the angel took Brother Branham and he said, these are your people. He says, you know, first you'll be judged, and then if you're accepted, then they'll be accepted also. And Brother Branham said, will Paul have to stand the same way? He said, yes, he will. He said, well, then praise God, I preach what Paul preached. And that's, friends, look, if Brother Branham would stand there and say, I preach what Paul preached, how could some other man stand up today and say, well, if Brother Branham was alive, he'd have to sit in my services. If you ask me, that's close to blasphemy. Verse 16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temples ye are. You know, the Bible says in Colossians 1:15 says that we serve an invisible God. And God remained invisible until he finally became visible in the man Jesus Christ. Then he ascended on high. And he said, he told the disciples, said, tarry there in Jerusalem until I send you power from on high. And the Holy Ghost came upon them. And then Peter comes out of there, and Peter said, look, that wasn't just for us in the upper room. That's for everybody. He said, as many as the Lord our God shall call can receive the Holy Ghost. And so, now it's an invisible God, then was identifying himself in Jesus Christ. Then the invisible God comes and identifies himself in you. That's where he's been identified today, is in you. So we ought to get closer to him so that we can walk more like him and talk more like him, instead of talking like you know, we find ourselves many times throughout our life and day. Verse 18, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become as a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it's written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. You know, we should never get to a point where we become so deceived in our minds we think we're dependent on ourselves, our own abilities, our own efforts, what we can do. Because, friends, look, I can't, it's like the song he was singing, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. That's the truth. You know, there's, I can't do one thing from one day to the next without God helping me. So, you know, the thing about it is, you know, sometimes things don't go our way. And sometimes people get to thinking, well, I'm just a failure. Well, the thing about it is, if God's the really one in control, are you calling him a failure? If he's the one in control of our lives and every aspect and every part of our lives, then however he's handling it should be good. Because our ways are not wise when it comes to, sometimes men get to thinking that they're real smart, but they're not. I'll tell you what men's smarts have done. Men's smarts have just about destroyed this earth. Brother Branham says they've leaned to the tree of knowledge rather than the tree of life. He said, and by leaning to the tree of knowledge, he said, they learned to split the atom. He said, I wish they'd have never learned to do that, but they did. And he said, and they had to. He said, because he said, it had to happen so that big holes could burst in the earth and lava spew forth. You know, I never thought of that before I read this. You know, the Bible says that the heavens and the earth will be burned over with fire. And I never thought of it this way till I read this today, where Brother Branham said, talking about the big holes in the earth spewing forth lava. And he said, to burn the earth and rejuvenate the earth. And he said, to make a new earth where the righteous will walk out on the dust of the wicked, where sin will be forgotten. Boy, I can't wait for that. Amen. Everything, he said, has a way of renewing itself. And man, who was given to live on this earth by his own wisdom, taking the tree of knowledge instead of the tree of life, he will destroy the earth that God gave him to live on. That's what man's doing. You know, we hear about all these things, and many times we dismiss them just being political things and that. But friends, this earth, look, it said it's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. Well, the heavens it's talking about is the atmosphere. It's not talking about heaven. It's talking about the heavens, the atmosphere. Well, man, with all of his pollutants and everything else, has just about destroyed our atmosphere. So we're going to need a new one. You think about all the pollutants that's in the air, and, you know, people get sick from this stuff. We're going to need a new atmosphere. And he said, and the thing about it is, man with his wisdom, he's the one that's doing all this stuff that's actually going to bring about destroying the earth so that it's burned over, so it can renew itself and be a new earth, a new atmosphere. See how smart man is? He's destroying himself. Not only that, but friends, look, if time was to tarry on, population, I believe, would start to go down, because two men can't produce a baby and two women can't produce a baby. and some guy that thinks he's a woman can't produce a baby, and some woman that thinks she's a guy can't produce a baby, and somebody that thinks they're a them . This world's going totally insane. We're at the end time. Brother Branham, when he preached about Laodicea, he said it was about people's rights. And that's all you hear today. People's rights. But the thing about it is, friends, look at who they're saying's got rights. All the insane people. The criminals got rights. The murderers, they got rights. People who go around destroying cities has rights. Trying to destroy history, they got rights. I guess they got the right to destroy themselves because that's what they're doing. I don't see how it can go on much longer. And I don't understand how the people can't look back at things in history and see what happened there and see what they're doing today. Man, just look back in the 40s at Adolf Hitler and Nazism and what all they done. And they say, well, you know, I'm against that. Then why are they burning books the way they burned books? Why are they trying to do away with things the way that Hitler and them tried to do away with things? It's the same old spirit, just disguised itself in a different name now. But what it all boils down to is one thing. We're coming to the end. And if we're at the end time, then friends, what we need to be getting our focus on is getting out of here. Get our focus off of the little things of this life. And get our minds centered on, look, I need to start getting mature so I can get out of here. Let's quit running around the old apple tree and actually make some progress. Amen. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you tonight. And Lord, we go through this, Lord, as we felt led chapter by chapter, Lord, going through the book of Corinthians, Lord. And Father, there's just so many things in there to learn from, Lord. And Father, that it wasn't just Paul just speaking to the Corinthians, and then those letters were done, and when the Corinthians passed away, then there's nothing left of those letters. But Lord, they're eternal. They still have meaning to us today. It's words of life. Lord, it's words we can live by. Lord, I pray, Father, that you'll go with your people, Lord. I pray your blessings upon them. I pray you'll strengthen them, Lord. I pray you'll help us, Lord. Lord, to take more heed, Lord, to our actions. Take more heed to what we're doing and what we're saying and what we're taking in. Lord, that when we feast on this word, Lord, it won't just be that we feasted on it and felt, Lord, all it is, a lot of times, Father, is just people getting caught up in their emotions. But emotions won't carry you. Just getting excited ain't going to help you when you leave out of this building. But actually taking a hold of the word that's preached and living by it, that's what's going to help us, Lord. Bless your people now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.